Well, good morning. It is 6:24 a.m. on Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. 35 degrees, which is 1.7 degrees Celsius, to be precise. 98% humidity. Morning. As I commence my stroll down 11th Street in the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the Pearl Cast, y'all. Welcome to the Crocophony. It's weird, I was sitting there. The crows hadn't been roosting in Jameson Square for most of the winter, but now they've shifted over there now. So from the moment I step out of my apartment building all the way to the marination bench, I'm attended by the Crocophony. And it's been strange all morning. I've been hearing, okay, don't get concerned, but I've been hearing voices in the Crocophony. And it's that right at the edge of your vision when you think you hear something, but you're not sure. Okay, now those are real voices. Morning. Oh crap. That was a gang of joggers. It's about a dozen people jogging. I have not seen that before. That is new. But that's not what I was talking about. It's like, whoa. You're used to hearing when you're walking down the streets of Portland. I've grown accustomed to hearing people talking, people shouting, people blathering or rambling or whatever. But that was different. But it's been that sense of something being just on the edge of your vision, of your hearing. You think you hear, I don't know, music or somebody saying something, but you're not sure if you actually heard it or not. And I've been hearing indistinct phrases on the crow song. And I don't think I'm hearing the voices of the crows. Okay, let's be very clear about that. This is an intriguing aural phenomena. But it's fascinating. It's intriguing. I'm reminded of those 3D paintings, portraits, pictures that had come out. God, I hate to say it, but probably decades ago now, where if you cross your eyes just right, the image of absolute chaos suddenly becomes a butterfly or you know, whatever, manifests as a pattern emerges from the chaos, basically, simply because you shifted your perception subtly. And, you know, why shouldn't that apply to other senses, right? Morning. I guess I've heard it before when you're in a, well, I don't know. I was gonna say, like, when you're in a crowd of people, you hear voices. Like, yeah, duh, there's people around you. Of course you hear voices. But in any environment where pals, where, I don't know, the environment is so overwrought with input and signal and stimulus, morning, that your brain, like I said, the brain's always looking, we're always looking for patterns, right? We're always looking for recognition of a structure in the chaos. And that's a survival instinct, right? That's, you know, being able to recognize a leopard's spots in the tall grass. That'll keep you alive. That's lizard brain level cognition. But we've carried that into our quote unquote civilized life. So we're always looking for patterns and structure, because not just for survival anymore, but now for understanding. I mean, that's what scientists do, is look for some repeatable structure of some kind. But by the same token, that's where mythology comes from. That quest for understanding, for structure. Why does the sun rise every morning? Well, that's because Apollo is pulling the sun on his chariot of horses. That's a pattern. No, the sun is the pattern. The mythology is the quest to understand the pattern. Huh. Okay. Interesting. So there's pattern, and then there's purpose. There's pattern and understanding the pattern. Understanding the pattern behind the pattern. Ah, here we go. Now we're getting down into the weeds. Context. Context is it. Because, I mean, there's those... I've seen these art installations where, you know, it's a series of random sticks and pads just sitting there in the middle of the floor. But if you shift over to this perfect alignment, all of those sticks and pads and things resolve into a human face or whatever. But because you were looking from, you know, 90 degrees off axis from the alignment, then it's just chaos. It's random foovera. But if you look at it just right, suddenly it becomes something more. Suddenly it becomes recognizable. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're not looking for, well, I guess patterns kind of implies recognition, which is also incredibly subjective, because we all have our own patterns. We all have our own unique filters and resolution engines in our brain that we look for, that we recognize. You know, my dad was a doctor, and his pattern recognition, it's not exclusively that, but it's tuned by those experiences and by the knowledge that he has acquired from that. I've got my own, you've got your own. We all have our own unique lens that we use to process life and experience. I don't know why I'm this is Dave's pre-caffeinated brain, but it's just pattern recognition, contextual, contextual pattern recognition, maybe, I don't know. But no, for some reason the movie Contact has been on my brain. Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. That's an old movie. That's, holy crap, that's decades old. I might have said those words and some of you may not know what the heck I'm talking about. If you've not seen it, it's a marvelous movie. But I'm reminded of Jodie Foster's character, apparently at one point in her character's past, had become fixated on static. And again, there's another thing that is old school. Not a lot of kids are going to be able to recognize static anymore, because there just isn't static. There's either the TV's on or it's off. There is no moment when the station goes off the air and stops broadcasting, or a dead station, or whatever. But I get off into that. Jodie Foster's character was examining the static, looking for patterns in the signal. And that's an apt metaphor for life in general. Looking for patterns in the signal. Because if you think about it, from the moment, well, not even before, but from the moment, whoa, just dropped my towel. From the moment you wake up, you're receiving input. You're receiving the signal of life, the signal of your experiences being processed through your senses. And that's just a massive influx of data that your brain is processing constantly. And the only thing that lets us get up and make breakfast and brush our teeth and put on clothes and go about our day is our understanding of the patterns in that signal. And it seems like the ultimate expression of hubris to think that our current reception of said signal is comprehensive and exclusive. I don't know what that means necessarily, other than I'm back at Jameson Square, so I need to wrap up this particular round of existential blather. You just never know what you're going to get when you tune in, right? Tune in to the signal, to my signal. Yes. Oh, Lord. What is today? Today is Wednesday, the hump day, the tipping point between the beginning of the week and the end of the week. Things are shifting under your feet, in your brain, aligning themselves in new and unusual ways before the gravity of time starts pushing you towards the weekend. We're in this sort of was it Grange Point? I don't know, the tipping point. We're there. That's an intriguing place to be. Can do all sorts of intriguing adjustments to your alignment, fine-tuning your signal. By all means, do so. I hope you have a lovely, lovely Wednesday. I hope the signal gives you intriguing bits. Morning. Now, however the day goes down, can remember the signal burst from the broadcast station that is Zigzag Claiborne. And that signal is often a refrain of, despite everything, create. Add your signal to the noise. Ooh, God, I'm working that vibe hard. Resolve the noise into something other than just noise. Maybe it'll become music. Who knows? Well, and the way that happens is if you love fearlessly. I mean, really. Okay, I'm going to really go out on a limb here that love is what makes, transforms noise into signal. And that's a bold statement. And I could probably do a whole walk on that alone. But I'm just going to leave you with that because I'm blathering. So I'm going to sign off. I will do the same. And I will talk to you soon.